Welcome to the Patricia King Podcast.
We are going to build the kingdom of God in this hour. Jesus is sitting on the cloud. I believe that we are in the end time harvest season, but we're going to do exactly what he told us to do. We're going to disciple nations. Amen. This morning, I want to share a message, and I've titled it, No Turning Back. There's change in the air. Get ready for what's ahead. And, let's just start with this scripture, and then I'll unpack it. And Father, we just pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you to fill our hearts today. Once again, as this word is opened up and as we go inside this word that you are speaking to us in this hour, and that we as individuals and we as a house in Shiloh will be positioned, well positioned for what you are bringing forth in these coming days. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, in Isaiah 42, verses 8 to 10, let's start there. The Lord says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song, sing his praise from the end of the earth. Now, this is a specific word that God was bringing to his people at the time. But when the Lord is quickening scripture portions to you at any time in church history or throughout eternity, he can speak to your heart directly for the season that you are in. And I really felt the oil of the Spirit on this word. It was like a rhema impact it had on me, a spirit-quickened impact that it had on me as he was saying, I want you to keep your focus on me. I am the Lord. Be very careful not to get distracted in this hour, because the former things, as you have known it, have passed away, and all things are becoming new. This is a new season, but it's going to be a good one. And he says, before it all happens, I'm telling you it's new. And, you know, last year, especially from about July through to the end of the year, we were prophesying almost every week in this house about the new season, that things were going to look different, things were going to be new. And so we are in that now. And it's really important, again, if I can say it's always important, that we discern the times that we are living in so that we will know how to position ourselves. So right now, what are we in? We are still in the midst of a pandemic that took the world by surprise. I mean, 2020 came in like a bang, right? It took the world by surprise, but it didn't take God by surprise. Secondly, overnight, we saw life change as we know it. Restrictions were put in place, jobs were lost, businesses were shut down, lives were lost. Travel was halted. Churches didn't gather in the same way. There was riots, anarchy. I mean, that's some of the changes that we've seen happen. And as a result of that, we've also seen many wonderful things happen as God has empowered his church through media. We've seen families at home together more. There's been a lot of wonderful things happen as well. And of course, in Shiloh, we are so grateful for the hand of the Lord on this house and so grateful for the hand of the Lord on this community as well. The third thing is that in this season, many people are in transition, and there's many people moving. How many of you, our church has moved so many people in this last month, including me, and it'll be twice almost in a twice in a month almost it'll be for us. Yeah, I think almost right, a month or a month and a half. People are moving. And things have changed that previously were stable to us, but now it changed, so it doesn't look like it has the same stability. There's been upheavals and things coming into the light out of hiddenness, that even things shouted from the rooftops of media, everything being exposed. I mean, it is quite the time that we're living in. And so we do need to discern that to know how we should then position ourselves. But many are saying, you know, I can hardly wait until things return to normal. How many of you have said that when you go into a restaurant and there's no salt and pepper shakers on the table. I think I can hardly wait until things return to normal. But the old normal is not returning, not to say that there's not going to be salt and pepper shakers on the table, but life as we knew it is not coming back. It is not. And if you're waiting for it, then you won't be ready for the new. And so if you're just waiting, you know, passing time saying, well, this whole thing's going to pass one day and I can get back to normal, it's the wrong mindset because it's just not going to be the same. God has us all in an upheaval. Everything is different. And so we need to put our trust in Him. And the old is gone and new things are coming. In history, there is now a line drawn. I would say that, you know, prior to the Great Depression, you know that it was prior to the Great Depression. And then following the Great Depression, it was following the Great Depression. Why? Because the Great Depression put a mark in history. That's what's happening right now. There's a mark in history, pre-COVID and post-COVID, it'll be, you know. But we're going to see such drastic change in the world in this season. And we want to position ourselves to be under the open heaven. Do you know that in any period of time in history, God's people who connected by faith to His promises lived under an open heaven? During the Depression, during the First and Second World Wars, those who were serving God lived in His goodness, acquiring His promises in those times. All throughout biblical history, you'll see people in really difficult times, and yet God was faithful to His people, and they would live in the blessings of God, even in dry and uncertain times. And so we are committed. As a church body, we are committed to living under the open heaven in this hour. So there's going to be some upheavals coming. I want to prepare you for that. There are going to be, you know, it's not all just going to be Yahoo, peace, peace, everything's great. This is not that season. And remember, we've been talking for quite a number of months, is that you live differently in a time of war than you live in a time of peace. And so we need to learn how to live in this hour and how to position ourselves to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. But there will be some upheavals and some challenges in the coming days. But there is also the potential that we're being offered by God to give birth to the greatest move of God in all history. And I want to be part of that number. I want to be in that because the word says that the Lord, He is the stability of our times. He is the stability. He is the anchor. And so no matter what goes on around us, we are going to be stable. We are going to be secure. And we receive that by faith because it's promised to us. And even though there's upheaval all around us, all kinds of stuff going on, we will remain stable. But not only that, we will be positioned to birth one of the greatest moves of God in the history of the church. And God is looking for partners in that. He's saying, hey, do I have any partners out here? And at Shiloh, we're saying, here we are. We're ready. We are here for you. Now, I want to give you an example of how oftentimes people have a hard time adjusting to change in general. I personally like change. More change is good as long as I have, you know, a stable haven, okay? but I do love change and I like going with God into the new, but we still have to have that place of, you know, where we feel like we can nest, that place in the Lord and the place in the natural. We're in transition right now in housing, and I hate it. I've been feeling like I've been in transition since January, and everything in me just wants to nest. Come on, I want to get everything set up. I want to nest. And so you all have your areas that you know, God has put a wiring in you where you think, you know what, God, I need you to come into this place and set me in a place of peace in that. And then you can move out and have as much change as you want once you're in that place. And He is at the center of that. But just to give you an example, Jesus' disciples, they lived with Him practically. definitely walked with him, ministered with him for 3.5 years. They had wonderful relationship. They shared meals together. They sat under his teaching. They worked miracles with him. They saw the signs and wonders. I mean, how would you like that? That's quite the mentorship. 3.5 years of hanging out with Jesus Christ, you know, every moment of every day. They're eating the meals. They're fishing. They're on the lake. They're everywhere with him. 3.5 years of glory. You know, it was uncontainable glory. And they're just hanging and having a wonderful time. And they had left all their fishnets. They'd left everything to follow him. And it was like, woohoo, yay. You know, they were having a really good time. And then he's gone. He's gone 3.5 years. And he's no longer there with them. Even though he was there with them, they didn't see that he was there with them. You know what I mean? They mourned and they were confused, even though Jesus had told them many times ahead what it was going to look like. He really did give them everything that they needed to know that change is coming. And I'm sure that they were saying, yeah, 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 praise the Lord. Amen. Change is coming. Yeah, yeah. You know, and he is prophesying all the change all the way through that 3.5 years. But when it finally came, they were like, what? And that happens to us a lot. God is giving us all the little nudges. If you look back, you can see it in all the words. He's saying it here. He's saying it there. He's preparing us here. He's preparing us there. But then when the change comes, it's like, what? And that's what the disciples did. They were like, I don't get this. But you see, the best was yet ahead for them. Because following Jesus' death, he was resurrected, and following his ascension, Acts 2 came. Amen? It just got better and better. We sang about that this morning. It just gets better and better. And Jesus said that there would be greater works than what he did, they would do because he went to the Father. So it was a promise that things were going to get better, but it didn't seem better. Because what happened when Jesus left, the disciples were there praying and you know, gathering together and giving birth, actually, to the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost came, and almost in the next breath, they were heavily persecuted. It says the greater days. Wow, now we're in jail. Now we're being beaten up and charged and, you know, persecuted from all around. But he says, because I go to the Father, you're going to do even greater works. It's going to get better. But what was the better? The better was all about being in Jesus. The better was all about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. The better was about taking the kingdom out of an isolated area and spreading it to the whole world. Now, if they had been totally immersed in themselves, they wouldn't have been able to enter into the fullness of what God had for them, because they had to be open for change. They had to be open for change. And there was no turning back. It wasn't going to be the same again. They were never going to have what they had had for that 3.5 years. That season was gone. And some of your seasons that you've enjoyed, some of you have been remembering a season in your life that you absolutely adored, absolutely loved. Oh, if only it could be like that again. It's not going to be like that again. But God is offering you better if you will say yes. Those disciples, they weren't going to have that 3.5 years again. They weren't going to have it in the same way again. In fact, they weren't even going to be all together in the same way again. Everything changed. And when everything changes, we have to be ready to say, yes, Jesus, because I'm not going back. I'll enjoy all the good things I had, all the good things that you did. I'll share the testimony of those things. I'll tell my children about them. I'll tell the world about them. But I'm not going to live in that looking for that to return, because it's not going to return. And if I hold on in my heart to just wanting things that were, I won't be positioned for what's to come. And God wants us to be positioned for what is to come, because greater works are coming. And he's taking us from glory to glory. And the latter glory is going to be greater than the former. We haven't seen anything yet. Woo! Yeah, we have a difficult time adjusting to change. But I just want to say, get over it and get the Gumby anointing and just... You know, just get ready for something really great, because something great is being offered to us in the Lord. So I want to give you a few little points this morning on how to get ready in this time of change. And the first thing is to follow Jesus with all your heart. And we could underline Jesus, capitalize and bold him, follow Jesus with, and then capitalize, bold, and underline all, okay? Follow Jesus with all. I live to worship you, Lord. You know, that's what it all boils down to, is one thing. There's only one thing in life that we really have to, you know, give ourselves completely to, and that's to the person of Jesus himself, our Savior, our Lord, our King, our life, our way, our door, our shepherd, our deliverer. He is everything that you can ever want. God plus nothing equals everything that you will ever need. He is so amazing. Let's live to worship him. And so as we're coming into this season, so often we find ourselves thinking, oh, what about this and what about that and maybe this and maybe that. We all do it. But Jesus is simply saying, just follow me. Just follow me. You don't need all that clutter. You don't need all that those things going on in your head. Just come inside of me and I will show you where to go. Come inside of me and I will ordain your steps. I will show you what way to go. Just come inside of me. So let's follow him with all of our heart. In John 12, 23 to 26, and Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So this is part of his preparation for his disciples, you know, preparing them for what was going to happen. And he was saying, look, at, you know, I'm going to be dying, but I'm going to be reproducing as well. Even though there's going to be a death involved, there's going to be fruitfulness involved that is beyond anything that you could ever imagine. And if any of you are feeling like, you know, you've had to die to things, remember that if you're dying for the causes of Jesus Christ, it's only going to get better and better. But he says, he who loves his own life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world, our soul life. I actually had a word for someone just this last week. The Holy Spirit was just plunked it right down into my heart. He says, go tell this person this word. Because if they were to love their soul life, which was being pulled and distracted and moved upon and there's heavy temptations on them. But if they were to love that life and go that way, they would lose it. But if they were to turn to Jesus with all their heart, they would gain. Things would just get better and better and better. And that's a principle that we can all live by all the time. Amen? And so in this time of transition, we see so many things changing. The world's economy is changing. I mean, there's some businesses that once were that are no more. They are packed up. People's health issues and the way we're handling them is all in an upheaval right now. There's many, many different things. But in the midst of it, there's one that we can follow where we will be stable through every step of the way. And that's as we follow Jesus. And when your soul gets tugged upon, and when your soul is filled with anxiety and stress and all of that, remember, no, I'm following Jesus, because if I hate the world and its struggles and its stress the way it is right now and love God with all my heart, then it's going to be really good. I'm going to gain so much, and I'm going to experience the kingdom of God. In Luke 9, 59 to 62, and Jesus said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. And also another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I remember as a new believer reading that and I thought, really, Jesus? You don't even have anyone go and bury their dad, you know? But what he was saying there is he said, no matter what is going on, there's going to be times when you have to put me first and you're not going to have the time or have the grace to even go back and take care of things behind you because I'm calling you forward. And sometimes we just need to say yes to the moving forward and get rid of all the buts. Yeah, I'd like to follow you, but I have this. I love to follow you, but I have that. And I find that when we offer God our but, B-U-T, when we offer him our excuse, let's put it that way, that the chances are that we never step into what he's invited us to do. So we have to leave that. Oftentimes, we have to just leave it behind so that we can move forward with him. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, you know, just follow me. You're giving me all these excuses. I have to do this. Yeah, I'd really like to do it. Have you ever been invited out somewhere and you're thinking, well, I don't really know if I want to do it. And you tell the person, I'd really like to go out with you, but, you know, I'm sorry, I can't, because oftentimes that's just a little bit of a cop-out. And sometimes it's a total lie. And I hope that you'll be convicted by that and never do that. But even if it's a partial lie, you should repent from that, right? Because, you know, we have to let our yes be yes and our no be no. So we're either going to go for it in God or we're not going to. But right now, it's really important that we say yes to God. And we might say, yeah, but we have this and that and the other. And maybe I could fully serve him and I can fully follow him later. But right now, I've got other things. And God is saying at this time in church history, just follow me. If I ask you to do something, give me your yes, because you'll never be sorry. It is going to be so glorious. God is always good. He's good all the time. And you will never be sorry for giving God your yes. And don't procrastinate by all the different things that you have to do. Yeah, I would love to have a devotion time with you, but I've got to answer my emails. Well, God's saying, no, just answer your emails later, but come follow me now. Amen? The second key that'll help you is to be flexible, to be flexible. Jesus talked in the scriptures about you can't put new wine in an old wineskin. Why? It's because the wineskin that holds the old wine, and there's nothing wrong with the old wine. It's very seasoned, and it had a container for that. Any move of God in church history is referred to like an old wine, the moving of the Spirit, and there was a container. There was a theological container. There was a biblical grid for that. It's all good, but that's not necessarily what's going to hold the next move, because the next move is going to be so different that it needs its own biblical and theological grid to hold it. So there has to be an ability to grow. Otherwise, the theological and biblical grid of the last move will actually be used to turn against the new move. That's happened all throughout church history. The theologians of the previous move will persecute the next move using the very scriptures God showed them to endorse the other move. But you see, we have to be ready to grow and expand. We have to be flexible. We can't just hold on to the way things were done before. Say, well, we used to always do it this way. It's always been this way and it worked, but it might not work for the new season. Many of you have heard me tell the story about the church. I don't even know if this is true. It might be true. It was told to me years ago, and I assumed it was true at the time, but then I got to thinking, how do I know for sure it's true? So I just try to qualify it. But there was a pastor who took a pastorate, And he accepted the job. He goes in there, and he's reviewing the setup of the sanctuary before he preaches his first sermon. And he notices that because he favored the right, that he needed the piano to be moved over to the right-hand side of the sanctuary, because if he was going to be, you know, talking to his worship leader, he needed to turn to the right. So he, simple solution, he just moves the piano over. Well, the deacons and the elders saw it before the first Sunday, and they were appalled. They said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I just moved it over there because I favor the right." And they said, "Excuse me, but we've done it this way for years. It goes over here. It goes over here. It belongs over here. The congregation will never accept the piano being moved." I know that sounds sick, but actually things like this have happened. So he moved the piano back. I mean, it's his first Sunday, so he doesn't want to cause trouble. He moves it back, but he gets a solution on how to work it out. So every Sunday, he just moved it over a couple inches. Another couple inches, another couple. So after a year time, he had it over to the other side that he wanted it, and no one knew the difference because they were able to adjust. But come on, we've got to become more flexible than that. Come on. I mean, God is patient, and he is willing to take you inch by inch. But by the time you get over there, the move of God is finished. Come on, this has happened so often that there's been a big move of God and people are complaining about it, and every new move of God gets complained about. Every new move of God gets challenged and told that it's of the devil and all that kind of stuff. That always goes on. Just expect it. It's just the way it does. Jesus even said it would happen, that persecution would come because of the moving of a spirit. If the spirit is moving, there will be persecution toward it. But we want to have discernment that when we see God moving, we're going to say, "We're moving with you, Lord. We're with you." You know, if he's moving, I want to be right with him, not ahead of him, not behind him. I don't want to be back here. And 20 years later, hear everyone talk about the great move that happened that I didn't get to experience because I was too hard-headed, too scared, too fearful, too unflexible. I've always done it this way. These are the scriptures I learned in the past. This is the biblical grid I have for life, and it couldn't possibly be that. No? Why don't you go over here and explore it? Explore the scriptures. Explore the Holy Spirit's leading. Explore what God is doing. So in this season, things aren't going to go back to the way they were. Things are going to be different. We don't even know what it's going to look like. We don't know totally what it's going to look like. Doesn't that drive you? What? I don't even know what it looks like. Come on. Just think of Abraham. God comes to Abraham and he says, "Abraham." Abraham is 75 years of age when God came to him. And he said, "I want you to leave your family, you know, everything that is represented in your past life. I want you to leave it all and follow me." And I'm sure Abraham said, "Great, where are we going?" But the Lord didn't tell him. He said, "Just follow me. Just follow me." And that's what Jesus is saying. Just follow me. And believe me, Abraham needed flexibility. Every day he had to follow the Lord. What about Israel going through the wilderness? They had to follow that cloud. They had to be flexible. When that cloud moved, they better move with it. Because if they chose not to move, guess what? They'd be stuck in the desert with no glory cloud. Because the glory cloud moved. And many churches today are stuck in a wilderness, in a dry desert, with no movement, with no fresh manna, with no fresh revelation, because they failed to follow the cloud when the cloud moved. Whoa. And we want to be a church that follows the cloud. And that takes flexibility. Think of it. In the wilderness, when they had to move, they had to pack up everything. You know, when they settled, when the cloud stopped, they got to settle. That would have made me happy, because I like nesting. I like putting the pictures on the wall and having the house all in order and everything. And so they stopped. The women got their family photos out and put them on the tent. The men went and dug the latrines, you know, to take care of those issues. And they got settled. But then one day, someone's in the outhouse looking out through the little moon, and the cloud moves. No, they better be ready to move with that cloud. or they're going to be stuck in the outhouse in the desert by themselves without God. So we need to be flexible. You say, yes, but you don't understand. Like, you know, God, it's just so good in the last move. Yes, of course. And you want to remember that. You want to celebrate it. But the enemy of the best is good. Don't hold on to the good of the last season and miss the best of the next season. Many people do, and all kinds of things. We always need to be flexible, especially as you get older. I notice that we can get stuck in our ways. Anyone notice that? As you're getting older, you kind of get stuck in your ways. That's why it's good as you're getting older to put a lot of young people around you. They'll keep you young. They'll challenge you. And you think, nah, we always did it this way. And say, no, but you need to be flexible. You need to learn some new ways. You need to open your heart. You need to, you know, stay young. For the most part. There's a benefit in growing older. People listen to you after you turn a certain age. You can say things. You can say things in your 60s that you never would have gotten away with in your 30s. I can say things, Pastor, that you can't say. Well, we can see that with our president. Let's go back to the scripture. Genesis 19:26. This is about Lot. Okay, so God sends these angels to warn Abraham about what's going to happen with Sodom and Gomorrah, that God is done with it, right? So he's going to cleanse the land. And so it ends up that they go to rescue Lot because Lot is in Sodom and Gomorrah and he'll get destroyed with it. So they go to rescue Lot and his family out of there. And so they leave before the fire and the brimstone hit the place. But in Genesis 19:26, it says, but his wife, Lot's wife, from behind him looked back. She looked back. And she became a pillar of salt. Now, Sodom was very corrupt. It was very similar to the day that we're living in. Actually, there was a lot of sexual perversion and homosexuality and things going on there. There was a lot of perversion in that day. But obviously, there must have been some good things going on too, because Lot's wife enjoyed her life in that place. And so when they were being delivered out of it, which is a great deliverance, a great kindness of God, the blessing of the Lord was delivering out of it, she couldn't take leaving behind what she enjoyed. She looked back and she became a pillar of salt. And I don't want any of us to become a pillar of salt. We're moving forward. Numbers 11:4-6. This is about Israel going through the wilderness. It says the rabble who were among them had greedy desires. And also the sons of Israel wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt. They had to go catch it. They didn't, you know, remember that part. And the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna. Whoa. Are you kidding? They just come from Egypt, this place of horrific oppression for hundreds of years. They are under this slave labor where they are working for almost nothing, hardly have anything to bring home to their family. They can go out fishing and catch a fish and have a little garden patch in their back where they can grow some leeks and onions. But they're out in the wilderness getting manna from heaven dropping upon them that they don't have to work for. They don't have to cook. They don't have to clean up after. It's just fed them from heaven. And they start to look back. And when they looked back, it was an exaggerated look of how good things were. Exaggerated look. Sometimes, oh, the good old days. And I tell you, most of the time, they weren't that good. There might have been some good aspects in it, but if you really think about it, there was a lot of things that aren't good in it, because if God thought it was that good for us, he would have kept us there. If God thought that Egypt was a place for Israel to be, he would have kept them there, but they had this exaggerated focus of how good it was back there. You have to move on. They had been promised by God the promised land. And in the meantime, they get this provision from heaven. And here they are grumbling about it and say, man, you know, where's the meat? Where's the fish? Where's the leeks? Where's the garlic? All we got is this manna. And they lost thanksgiving because they were looking back with an exaggerated affection for what they had or didn't have. They probably just made it up that they had fish even, for all we know. Sometimes we say that things happen and just in our dreams it happened. It might have been our desire that it was that good, but it wasn't. No grumbling or complaining. You know, the disciples had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years and then he was gone, as we said earlier. In Mark 16, 5-15, it says, entering the tomb, the two Marys saw a young man sitting at the right wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons, and she went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that he was alive and had been sent by her, they refused to believe it. After that, he appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. See that? He appeared in a different form. He appeared in a different form. They went away and reported it to others, but they did not believe him either. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. See, they weren't able to adjust. They weren't able to adapt to what was going on. They had their own mindsets that they were stuck in. They couldn't even believe Jesus, though the reports came that he was alive. They didn't even believe it, even though Jesus had said in John 14 that he was going to go to the cross, but he would come again. And they didn't believe it. They didn't believe the reports. They were unable to, because their mind wasn't open. Their mind was not open. So we want to remain open and flexible. Thirdly, we want to be in much prayer. Jesus left his disciples a prayer meeting in Acts, not a full blueprint. He didn't say, okay, here's your church growth seminar. I'll give you the manual on how to plant churches. No, he gave them a position, and it was a position of prayer. He didn't give them any further instruction except to remain in prayer. And he also said that when the Spirit comes upon you, you will be empowered by him to take the gospel, to be my witnesses, okay? So we see in Acts 1:14, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So they were all praying. And as a result, they gave birth to Acts 2. They gave birth to the open heaven that we see in Acts 2, where the Holy Spirit came and empowered the whole church. Faith is vital. You see, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And when God says he's going to do greater things, we have to believe that. When God says he's going to pour out his Spirit on all mankind, we have to believe that. When God says, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come back and greater things are going to happen, we need to believe that. And that's why it's important to pray, take those things into prayer and give birth to the potential that we have in the Lord. Number four, believe in the goodness of God. God is always good. We sang that today. He will work everything together for good all the time when we keep our mind on him and when we love him with all of our heart. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So if you're in a transition and it feels uncomfortable and you're waiting for the normal to come back, it's not coming back. But if you look to God in that place and say, I'm going to believe what you say. You are good, and you are going to cause goodness to come no matter what I'm facing in this transition. Every day I can know your goodness. Psalm 34:8. I had this in my heart yesterday. It was just so powerful. All day long, I couldn't get it off my heart. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Amen? So that's what we're going to do during this time. We're just going to feast on the goodness of the Lord. We're going to eat of the goodness of the Lord. We're going to taste on the goodness of the Lord because he is unchangeable. Circumstances will change, but he will not change. And our new normal has to be him. Him alone. Okay, number five, learn to love well. Love well during any season. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, but now faith, hope, love abide. These three, but the greatest is love. And Paul said in this same chapter, he said, if you don't have love, that love is your marker. If you don't have love, you are nothing, you have nothing, it profits nothing. So as we are moving and changing, it's easy when you're feeling insecure about where you are and you're not quite sure where you're going and everything feels insecure. It is so easy to lose love. Have you noticed that? Whenever there's a change and you're uncertain about where you're going, you get short with people, you get, you know, just, you know, intolerant, impatient. You're not as kind because you're full of anxiety and worry. But when you're in love, there's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no stress. So if we commit ourselves to loving when we're going through change, then it's going to make the world of difference to the way we walk through into the new. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said, let love be your greatest aim. We have to remember love. We can have differences, but we don't have to be divided. We don't have to get nasty. We don't have to be rude. We're not talking about loving when everyone is perfect, but loving when they're not. Well, I'm just going to wait for them to get a little bit more perfected, and then I'll love them. Aren't you glad that God doesn't treat you like that? You know what that is? That's a religious spirit. I can't love that person because they're not perfect. You weren't asked to love anyone for their perfection. You were asked to love as God loves. And you need to practice on some love growers. You know, you need to just find some people in your life that are real challenging to you, and you learn to love, because if you can't love them, you are nothing, you have nothing, and it profits nothing. Most of the time, our natural self just wants them to go away. In fact, I know of Christians who have prayed them away. Said, oh God, just move this person out of the area. I don't want to deal with them anymore. Well, that's no pass of a love test. Just saying. We need to love well. We need to forgive well. Forgive. Forgive. Do you know what that means? Forgiving means you give before they're able to respond in the right manner. So you can give mercy. You can give compassion. Say, woo, I'm just going to forgive you. It's not because they deserve it. I've heard people say, I can't forgive them. They don't deserve it. That's not what forgiveness is about. None of us deserve to be forgiven. None of us. But we were on the cross 2,000 years ago when Jesus decreed forgiveness over us. Yay! So we get to practice it now as we are moving into our new season, is learning, yeah, I forgive. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to all be buddy-buddy and everything and they need to be your closest friends. Definitely not. There needs to be boundaries. You need to, you know, realize that unless two are in agreement, it's really hard to run together. You know, it just wastes a lot of time. You might as well just go your separate ways and love each other and forgive and you know, lavish each other from a distance. Sometimes that has to happen. But the heart, you have to forgive from the heart. and not hold anything against anyone. And if we're going to go into the greater tomorrow, we have to process this now. And we need to process. If there's issues that you have with people, try to process it to the best of your ability. I was talking with someone just the other day who was experiencing something where someone complained right to their face in a very harsh way and didn't even give them any time to process it. No process opportunity, right? We need to be able to process and be at peace with each other even when we are in disagreements. We need to love. How many of you watched the vice presidential debate the other night? Well, it was better than the first one, wasn't it? I'm just going to say, from my own opinion, I really did appreciate so many things about our vice president. He was so honoring, so kind, so strong in a lot of his points. It was, really great. Some of the things he shared were really great, very, very good points. But one of the things that both both those in the debate responded to a little girl who had written a letter about how painful it was for her. This is just a child. How painful it was to her to see all the hatred and all the animosity and all the back and forth biting each other and devouring each other. And she was making an appeal about that, saying how much it hurt her. And the response of both candidates was basically, oh, well, it's just the American way. Well, I say, no, it's not. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God, and we're just going to call this nation under God. This nation is going to be under God. And that would be the same as having a husband and a wife fighting each other all day long, saying, yeah, but we still love each other, to the kids. What kind of example is that for the children? Those children will grow up treating their spouses the same way. We have to model love, and we can do it well. And I believe that we need to pray for all the politicians right now, because if they start to get into a mindset of, well, this is just the way it's done, yeah, we hate each other publicly, but behind the scenes we're okay, that's not a good enough example, because everyone's going to follow that example. Can you imagine a whole nation, a whole entire nation responding with hate towards each other? Slandering each other, gossiping against each other. If we all get that, and it's pretty close there right now, praise God for the church, a remnant in the church that is holding the ground. And let's be that remnant. Let's be part of that. Who remember love in the midst of transition. Because many people lose their love in transition. They feel insecure, and so they lash out. Remember that love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not easily irritated. It doesn't take offense. It's not jealous or boastful. It's not rude. It believes the best. It doesn't gossip, doesn't slander, doesn't dishonor. It forgives, it blesses, it encourages. And love will reach out beyond yourself. Love will go beyond yourself. We have to be careful in the midst of this transition that we're in, not to get so focused on, oh yeah, we're just waiting for things to go back to normal. And in the meantime, we're just like this, rather than looking up and saying, love will reach out beyond myself. Love will reach the lost. Love will go and tell others about how great Jesus is. Love will care about others beyond myself. And so in transition, as we're getting ready to move into the new season, love will propel us. Love will keep us strong. So just as we wrap this up, there's not going to be a returning to a normal. I just thought I'd let you know, just in case you were waiting. But there will be the unfolding of greater things. And God says, get ready. Get ready. We need to be fully armored for what lies ahead. And we need to be immovable in the things of the Lord and his kingdom. We need to be ready to stand strong in him and in the joy of his presence. You don't have to wait for the fullness of what's coming to be in joy. Enjoy means to be in joy. You can enjoy now. You can be in joy right now. Why? Because his presence is here, and because we know that God is good. So I'm going to enjoy today. I'm going to enjoy you. I'm going to enjoy the Lord's presence. I'm going to enjoy everything about today because God is good. And we'll just go from one degree of joy to another. And before we know it, we'll be inside the greatest move that history has ever seen. Is there going to be some turmoil and struggles? Yeah, but when you're in joy, In joy, you just rise up above it all. It gives you strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? Did you get anything about this or from it? Anything that'll help you? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now for all your people, not only in this room, but every Shilonite that is in our online congregation and our web church, Lord God, that you would just empower them, Lord God, with grace for change. We thank you, Lord God, that they're going to be flexible, that we're not looking back to go back to the way things were. We are looking forward to all that you want to do in and through us in these coming days. And so increase the grace upon everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Patricia delights in resourcing you and prays for your increase in every blessing of the Lord. May today's message impact you greatly and draw you closer to God's heart and purposes for your life. For more information about other Patricia King resources, events, and partnership, connect with her on patriciaking.com. Also, follow her on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and iTunes podcast.